from her new CD, Rita Gardner, of Fantastic's fame and some other Broadway shows as well. She happens to be here by telephone in the neighborhood with us, even though she's all the way in New York getting ready for her cabaret stint at the Metropolitan Room. Rita Gardner, you should be on the air with us. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Ah, lovely. Hey, Rita, how are you?
I'm fine. A little tired, but fine.
Well, you've been doing the show all week, right? Or the last 2 weeks.
Well, I did it last weekend, and then I'm doing it this weekend, and we had a show late last night at 10 o'clock, so.
Oh, okay.
And then it's 7 tonight, and then 7 tomorrow night.
Does it
and then I think I'm taking it on the road.
Ooh.
And maybe doing it in colleges and doing master classes, and I look forward to that.
Well, yeah, well, bring it to Greeley. We could use you in Northern Colorado. That's where we are, by the way, the University of Northern Colorado.
Ah, well, maybe I'll see you.
Really? Are you going to be in Denver or something like that? Or?
Well, we're trying because I think I'd like to, you know, get it all, you know, situated so that I can take it to different colleges and hopefully I'll get to Colorado. I love Colorado.
Who doesn't love Colorado? I mean, it's
no,
Colorado.
I know.
Well, let me ask, how's the weather in New York? Because we're
beautiful
getting a change.
Today.
I'm sorry?
Absolutely beautiful.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it's actually pretty nice here, but then again, it's Colorado.
Yes, at least it's not raining. I can say it's not raining.
That's true. Well, soon it's going to rain. I can feel it.
Ah, aren't you nice.
Well, let's start with the foreword first. How long have you been doing your cabaret show or various cabaret shows?
Well, I did this about 10 years ago. I did it at the Sullivan Street Playhouse. I tried it out there, and I've done it around, but I really, you know, haven't done it for quite a while, and I thought this would be a good time to take it to a cabaret and show it to people, and then perhaps from there take it to colleges. So it's been about 10 years, really.
Oh, wow. Let me ask you one question. What is the Sullivan Street Playhouse now? What the hell have they done with it?
You know, I don't know. I'm afraid to go down there. I think it's really scares me because I think it's, I don't know if they ripped the theater up or if there's an apartment building. They were going to do a lot of things. I don't know if they ever did. When I go down to the Village, I never go to Sullivan Street now.
Is it because you just don't want to, you know, walk
No, out? It was very special, and it was so sad when we did the last show down there because Laurie Noto passed away, I think, wanted to close it because he was ill, but it was sad, and so now I don't go down there too often.
Yeah, I mean, I keep wondering because I was an NYU student back in the 1980s, so that's when I started all my theater going, and I would go see, well, only one show was playing at the Sullivan Street Theater ever.
Ever.
Right.
And now it's at the Jerry Orbeck Theater, you know. It reopened.
Have you seen the new, quote-unquote, I mean, really, it's sort of the same production that they would have been doing if the Sullivan Street Playhouse had still been there, but they brought it to the Jerry Orbeck Theater. Have
yes,
you seen it
there?
Yes,
it was the Snapple, and then they made, you know, they turned it into the Jerry Orbeck Theater. And I went, I think when it first opened, because Tom Jones was doing the old actor, and so I went to see it. Yeah, it brought back a lot of memories.
Were there points when you wished you could have gotten right back up on that stage and done that? I mean, it's impossible, you know, the years separating. But did you have those moments when the Louisa was on there and you said, oh, let me?
No, I didn't. no, I said, no, that's the past. My bow has drooped enough. No, but I enjoyed whoever did it. I don't remember because it was quite some time ago. But, no, I just sort of looked at it and say, gee, I was in a very good show, really. I didn't know that, but it's really terrific. It does last. It's in certainly the music, you know.
And speaking of lasting, and a couple of people have asked me this question, and Tom Jones, thank goodness, is still with us. And I think Harvey is – I checked. Someone said that Harvey was gone, but I think Harvey's still there, right?
Oh, sure. He lives in Texas.
Right. I mean, I guess he's retired, and he was ill for a bit, but Harvey's very much alive.
Yes, he is. I hear from him every Christmas, and I had cards made, you know, because he designed the CD cover, and I had somebody design the cards from the CD cover, and I sent him a card with a note on it, and we do keep in touch. I love him.
And he's doing well? He's pretty healthy?
I hope so, yes.
Oh, thank God. Great. And Tom, you know, Tom's never going to He's never going to slow down, let alone die. I mean,
No. He's coming tomorrow night, and I look forward to it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And the question that people have been asking is, are there any more people from then in that show who are still with us from this first year or two? Do you know?
It's Tom and Harvey, and I don't know. Absolutely. Blair Stauffer, the mute.
I'm here. You're still here.
So yeah, the mute, we got an award a couple of months ago. The Off-Broadway League gave Tom an award, and Blair Stauffer was there. So, yes, the two of us are around.
Oh, wonderful. So great. Yeah, I mean, because one person emailed me and said, oh, we've got the last living Fantastics person. And I was like, well, no, I know Tom Jones is still there.
And yes,
did some digging
and
out. So I'm thrilled. This is good. Now, let me ask you, how long were you in the Fantastics from when it opened?
Was it 9 months? I went to do a movie called 1+1, and then Jerry left the same time I did because he went to do Carnival. So it was about 9 months. We stayed with it a long time.
Well, yeah, especially who knew back then that an off-Broadway show would even run 9 months. I mean, that was a long time for them.
Yes, it was. Well, you know, we closed it in New York because Laurie was very smart. He closed it in New York, and we went to do it in East Hampton because it didn't get the greatest reviews, and people were telling him to close it. So he did it for 1 week. We went to the John Drew Theater in East Hampton, came back to New York, and we were a hit.
I didn't realize. I thought it was just straight through. So technically,
no,
were in the revival.
Well, we didn't get the best reviews, and, you know, nobody was coming. It was like, you know, it was like playing in a club with a sea of white tablecloths, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, nobody came. People were just staring at us and thinking, what are we seeing? And when we left, we did it at the John Drew, and everyone came to the John Drew for a week. I think we did it for a week. And then came back to New York, and some of the magazines came out, and they were very favorable. And so all of a sudden it became a hit, and then we recorded it.
Well, sure. Was it a slow build, though, after you got back from the John Drew? In other words,
it was pretty fast after that, as I remember. It was started, and then we did television, and, you know, we started to do a lot of publicity for it. But it was Laurie's, you know, decision, and he said, no, I'm not closing this. So we have to give him a lot of credit for that.
Absolutely. Did you, remembering the rehearsal process of the show, did they make Harvey and Tom and Laurie Nogo, did they make a lot of changes, or was it basically set and you were just learning it? What do you remember about rehearsing?
I remember it was pretty much, it was the script that we got. You know, and I tell people, you know, it was very interesting because Ward Baker, you know, was the director, and there were no rules then, you know. I mean, we didn't have all these rules, so one day we'd come into rehearsals, and if it was a good day, we stayed late. If it wasn't, we went home. So it was a very flexible time, you know. But we all loved the show. All the actors loved the show. So we all came with a great deal of enthusiasm.
Did you regret having to – I mean, nobody regrets going into a movie, but did you regret leaving the show after 9 months?
You know, it was time. I think I think we all felt. I know Kenneth stayed for a little while longer, and then got another show too. But you know, after a while, it was time. We had put in a lot of work, and you know, when something comes up, you say it's time to go. We stayed with it even when we didn't get the good reviews. Laurie wanted the original cast to stay, and we all did.
Hmm.
So after 9 months or a year or whatever, I think we all felt it was time, and we got other offers. What we did, but it we did record it, so we knew it was there for people to hear, and you know, MGM did it,
right.
And it was the first time they ever recorded anything. I think I'm a musical, you know,
right.
Nobody recorded musical comedies at that time, especially off Broadway.
And I think MGM ended up doing the Three Penny Opera CD also when that played off Broadway. Pretty sure that was on their label. I'm not 100%. Did you ever go back to it? Oh, sorry.
No, did I ever go back, you mean, to see it?
No, to do it.
To be in it?
Yeah.
No. No, you know, I kept going and doing other things.
Hmm.
And so did Jerry.
Right.
No, we didn't do that. I don't think either of us did it. I don't know if Kenneth did that either. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people do that, and I think some of the actors did. I think the original people just, when it was time to leave, they left, and other people came in, and that's what happened.
Now, one of the things you say on the CD, and I think you also told Michael Musto this for his column, was that, I guess maybe we're exaggerating, but is it true that pretty much every time you tried to sing at one point in the show, the confetti would come down and you'd get a mouthful?
Yes. Oh, no, all that is true. I swallowed a lot of confetti. I had to keep out of its way.
Wow.
You know, yes, when we did They Were You and all of those songs. Yes, because Word loved confetti.
Well,
Word Baker.
And there was no way to place you in a way that you wouldn't be inhaling it.
No, it was a very small stage.
Well, yeah, of course.
You know, it was three quarters in the round, and it was designed very well. You know, it was just a white sheet, you know, saying the Fantastics, and we had chairs that we climbed up on to do round and round, and we found that all of that was improvised in rehearsals. You know, it was wonderful freedom to improvise and find the right way to do something. And Ward was a great editor. He looked at something and said, no, let's use that. But no, that really works. And he let us go. You know, we had imaginations, and he didn't try to stop them.
Oh, that's great. So you had
He was that kind of director. Miss him, you know.
Do you remember any amazing moments or scenes during your run with the Fantastics? Audience members doing crazy things, thinking they were part of the show?
Well, I've told this before, so, you know, it always makes me laugh when Tallulah Bankhead came. I don't, you know, Tallulah Bankhead was a very well-known actress, and she sat in the first row, and every time I came out to sing, she cried. So finally she came backstage, and I said, oh, Miss, you know, Bankhead, did I move you so much? He said, oh, yes, you did, but I cry at Leo the Lion.
Was she in her cups, or was she...
No, No. And we had a lot of famous people come. I mean, Richard Rodgers came, and a lot of people.
Well, do you have any recollections of meeting, like, backstage or whatever, or anything that they said to all of you, these famous people?
Oh, well, they just absolutely loved it. You know, it was just the show to see.
Did you get any advice from people like
that? We had a midnight preview. Word thought that would be lucky. So the first preview we ever had was at midnight. Oh, I forgot that. You know, I'm telling you this, and I had forgotten that.
Oh, my God.
And Charles Nelson Reilly was there.
Uh-huh.
And he came in and, you know, he... My husband at the time was sitting with him, and he said, it must be a wonderful show. After 5 minutes, she has 12 numbers.
Well, let's hear.
He said that, and I mean, and he really did. He was just going, my gosh, she ever stopped.
Well, let's hear some proof of that. We do have the 1960 Off-Broadway cast album of The Fantastics. So if you wouldn't mind bearing with us as we hear you many, many years ago in The Fantastics singing Much More, if that's
okay.
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
Please. This is Rita Gardner.
I've heard that in a long time.
Oh, yeah. Much More. And Much More with Rita Gardner on Dave's Gone By. And as promised, we have Much More with Rita Gardner here on Dave's Gone By. So...
I sound like 12 years old.
I know. You almost were. What were you, 20?
Oh, my goodness. I hadn't heard that in a long time. And by the way, because, you know, MGM didn't know what they were getting into, we didn't do many takes. You know, we did this very quickly, this album, this CD, now. But when we were putting it together, one, two, three, maybe one or two takes, and that was it.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, everybody knows probably if you're in the theater, the soundtrack, or excuse me, the cast recording for Company, and how the fact that back then everybody was on the clock and they had to get it right in just a take or two. Well, unless you were Elaine Stritch. she got one gimme. But everybody else, I mean, you know, people, there wasn't infinite money to do these things, and you had to get in there and do it.
Yeah.
Usually overnight,
true.
You know.
That's true, yeah.
So, appreciating that you're talking so much about the Fantastics, but it's really not fair to just ask Rita Gardner about that one show, since obviously you were in it only for 9 months, and then you went off to do a bunch of other things.
Yeah, I was in, oh, God, Robert Preston, Ben Franklin in Paris, and I did Jacques Brel, and I did To Be Young, Gifted in Black, and I did, you know, one show after another in regional theaters and voiceovers. I think I'm a working actor. I always consider myself a working actor, and a few years ago I did The Wedding Singer.
Right.
And, you know, now I'm doing The Grandmother in Dora the Explorer. Don't ask me what that is, but, I mean, I'm thrilled to do it.
Well, you mean you're the voice of the PBS?
Yeah, the voice of the grandmother. Hopefully, I hope they run it a lot. Yeah, I just did that. So, you know, I think you just go on and you do what you do. I don't stop, really, and I'm very fortunate about that. I've taught a great deal all over the country.
Oh, great.
I love to teach. So, you know, I've taught at Juilliard and HB. I studied with Uta Hagen for many years. So,
Are you teaching acting or voice?
No, just acting. No, voice is... You know, I had one teacher for a long time, and now I have a marvelous teacher, John Bayliss. And I think, you know, what I would say to people is you study, you have a craft, so that when you get older, you know, you can work. Because if that's what you do, that's what you'll do for the rest of your life.
Well, here's
you have to have a craft. I think you have to know. Because it's not, you know, you have to know what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
And there are some very good people out there. You come up against some very talented people, and you have to be up there and know what you're doing.
So,
I believe in studying.
Well, of course. Absolutely.
But some people don't now. You know, I mean, we have a lot of reality shows and stuff that, you know, kids want to get into, and, you know, that's where the jobs, they say. And I said, well, you maybe get them now, but not in 10 or 15 years from now.
True. Although if you get on the right reality show, you make $2 million and you never have to do a show again. You know.
Well, you know, if you really love what you do, you want more. Then it becomes not about the money, it becomes about the work.
And
all
you've
of
kept,
these actors, it's about the work.
You have kept working all these years, and that's the thing. The idea is that you've never had to have... maybe you were waitressing just before the Fantastics, but you know, have you ever had a day job or had to?
A day job. Oh, when I was going to college, I was a dental assistant.
Oh,
don't
wow.
ask me how I did that.
Did you actually have to go into people's...
I looked at a lot of x-rays, and I knew about teeth.
Okay. All right.
But, you know, and yeah, and the dentist wanted to send me to school to be a hygienist, and I said, I don't think so. But, you know, I don't know how I got to do that. Don't ask me. but that's what I did.
Wooga, cooga, sugar, you know.
Wooga, shoulda, guess, of course. Now so, when I look at teeth, I go, oh, I could have been that. I could have done that.
There you go.
No, I just go to the dentist. I don't have anything to do with it other than that.
You did mention Ben Franklin in Paris, which was a 1964 Broadway show, and you came
yes.
in there. Susan Watson was supposed to be in there. How did you get the part?
How did I get the part? I, you know, Susan was leaving, and I auditioned, and so I replaced her. And Robert Preston, oh, was a darling man. He really was. He came into rehearsals to work with me.
Wow.
He was he did that. He didn't have to, but he did. I didn't work with the understudy. I worked with him.
He is one of the shining gods of American musical theater. Any great Robert Preston stories, any memories of him?
No, because I was in, it was a La Fontaine, and I think he was going through a lot of personal things, so I never really saw him except on the stage and when we rehearsed. But he was just a joyous person, and opening night he sent me champagne and flowers and notes, and I treasured him. A lovely, lovely man. But no, we didn't get to see a lot of him personally. Oh, I didn't know him personally.
Any other thoughts on people over the years that you have worked with who are either lovely, lovely people or really awful? Dish.
The ones that are really awful I won't talk about.
Oh.
No. No, there were some that, you know, I can't say really awful, but you say, listen, maybe they'll go away for a while and their understudy will replace them. You know, sometimes, you know, people can be difficult, but there were a couple. There's always a couple.
Well, if you don't want to give a name, like, what would be a difficult thing that you encountered? You know, you can give the initials. You don't actually have to say
who. No, I won't even give you the initials. What happens is that, you know, there are some people who are, you know, they're not used to the stage, and they get on the stage, and they don't know what they're doing. So, it's a fine craft, you know. You can't just come and be on the stage. And sometimes people forget that.
Whoops, okay. I'll have to dig back through your IBDB resume. And
that's
see.
For my another act. That's for my new act. And then I'll get on with you and I'll tell you.
That's fair. But okay, then fair enough. Then tell me at least one or two other really marvelous, wonderful, lovely people. Special people that you've worked with.
Special people. Special people. Well, I talk about, and I liked her a lot. I liked Eileen Heckert a lot when working with her. She was terrific. I loved Eileen. And I liked Cicely Tyson a lot and Barbara Baxley. I mean, these are names, you know, I don't know. People know who they are. Do you know what I mean? I don't.
Well, Cicely Tyson was in Sounder. Barbara Baxley, that's kind of eluding me, I have to admit.
Barbara Baxley was an actress she was around for a long time, and she did a lot of plays, and she was a terrific actress, and she was into The Young, Gifted, and Black. And Cicely Tyson, yeah, she was a lovely lady. I liked her.
That's great. So your last Broadway show was The Wedding Singer.
Yeah.
Which didn't do, I kind of liked it. It didn't do that well on Broadway, but it did pretty well on tour. People really liked it across the country.
Yes. You know, I heard that. That shouldn't have closed. I don't know what happened. It didn't get the greatest reviews, no, but people loved that show. It was fun to do, I must say. And Stephen Lynch was the lead, and he'd done a lot of Comedy Central stuff, and he was very good in it. And I enjoyed doing the grandmother, and people adored it. That's one of the mysteries, and it was terrific. I loved doing it.
Can I ask?
I don't know why it closed.
By the way, just want to tell everybody, it's 11 in the morning here at UNC. You're listening to Dave's Gone By on uncradio.com, the radio station of the University of Northern Colorado, listenable on uncradio.com and on your dorm room TV sets as well on Channel 3. So if you're listening to this, you can also listen to it on television. I don't know why I keep adding that, but I just have to.
Well, it's what you do, isn't it?
And we're here with Rita Gardner from The Fantastics and Ben Franklin in Paris and The Wedding Singer. And when were you in Jacques Brel off-Broadway?
Jacques Brel was in the late 60s. I replaced Ellie Stone, and I talk about that a lot in my act. Because she would like, you know, she got tired, she went on vacation, and so I would replace her. And when she wanted to come back, I had a Chinese dinner and was fired, so that's came back and did it again. But that's a show I went back to a lot.
That's some pretty terrific music in there, too.
Yes. And then Jacques Brel came to New York, and we met him. I think it was we went to Carnegie Hall, and he came, and the whole cast met him. Brilliant, really brilliant. And I did it in San Francisco. I did it all over the place. You know, that's a show I really did quite a bit of.
One of our readers/listeners wanted to also ask, and not to get too terribly personal, but you were married for a time to the wonderful playwright Herb Gardner.
Yes, I was. I was born and then I got married.
How old?
Very young. Got married very young, yeah.
What was it like being married to? Did you marry him when he was still struggling playwright, or had he already had?
He was a cartoonist. He did something called the Nevishes. He started out as a cartoonist. He was a very good artist.
Uh huh.
And he was a sculptor. And he started out as a cartoonist, and then wrote a book, and then started writing plays. Yeah. Well, he was, you know, and my husband Bob Sevra is also a writer. He's a lyricist and a writer, and he has a show called Rogues to Riches, which is based on the Beau Stratagem, which was done in London.
Oh, my.
Hopefully it'll be done here. I guess I like writers. I think I like writers.
Well, let me ask, what is it like being two creative people, both in the theater, you were also in movies as well. So was Herb Gardner, come to think of it. But was that a straying, or was that the only kind of people who can sort of live together and make a marriage work for a while is two people in the same field?
I don't have any answers to that. I think you get married to someone you fall in love with, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And I'm just looking at it, and I've always been attracted to people who like to write. I think that is true, but I don't think about that. I think it's just something that happens. You know, he could be a third-class forger, for all I know. If I fall in love with him, that's what he is.
Well, actually, I do have one more Gardner question, maybe you know this for sure.
Ask away.
Well, someone did ask whether, and I think this is in the Wikipedia listing for A Thousand Clowns, was that based on the life and work of Gene Shepard?
Oh, no. A Thousand Clowns was an original play.
Oh, no, I realize. Not stolen, but was the character of the protagonist in A Thousand Clowns. Was that kind of inspired by Gene Shepard?
Ah, that's an interesting question. I never thought about that. I mean, Gene was around. Gene was a friend. I think that came from maybe a couple of people. As writers do, you know, it's the subconscious that's working. But I think it could have come from a lot of people, maybe a few people, and from Herb's own insanity.
All right. Well,
does that clear it up?
Kind of. Well,
that's a writer's imagination.
Oh, sure.
I don't know if he would be able to tell you if he were alive. I think when people start writing things, it just flows if it's coming, you know. And this play happened, you know, he started to write it, and it was something that he just wrote, and it happened, as it were. You know, it wasn't that difficult.
Well, did you ever see yourself in one of his plays, or for that matter, in work of the man that you're married to now?
I see myself in all of those plays.
Oh, really?
Of course. I say, well, where did you get your inspiration? No. Sandra Markowitz. Well, I guess some part of me was Sandra Markowitz. I think so, maybe.
Do you have Jewish blood in you somewhere?
Oh, I have a lot of Jewish blood. That's who I am.
You're Jewish?
Yeah, I am.
I had – wow. Oh, God, I would have done this interview so differently. No, I'm
kidding. Would you have done it in Yiddish?
Look, there's actually a character that joins the show now and again named Rabbi Saul Solomon. And so he would have been very happy to do this interview. But he wouldn't have approached this if we didn't know that you were one of the tribe. Welcome. Oh, boy. This is exciting.
Ah, see that?
So what are you doing, Yom Kippur? No, I don't know. But,
No.
Oh, so you're married. Nice Jewish boys. Is your current husband Jewish as well?
No, he isn't.
Shame on you!
My mother met him and said, he's not Jewish, is he? I said, no.
Well, let me ask, how is your current, the marriage that you have different from previous? What makes it different? Is it the being older, or is it just different kind of personality?
I think you said it, older, wiser.
So are you, is it more of a friendshipy kind of...
You know, when people, it's very difficult to answer those questions, because when you're being married, you don't know the answers. Somebody else, the critic or the people looking at it, can say what they say. You know, I don't know. I've been married a long time.
Mazel tov.
And so, you know, here I am, and I'm a happy lady. And as long as I can work and have health, I think that's important. As you grow older, you go, thank God I'm healthy. I can walk and talk and breathe and sing and act, and, you know, I have a life. I think it's nice to have a life outside of the theater or outside of what you do. I think you have to, you know, bring something to what you do. It's not all showbiz.
So what are your hobbies? What do you do when you're not?
I don't have hobbies. I like to read and... You know, and I have a house in the country, and I love that. And I like crossword puzzles. That's calms me down. I don't know why it does, but it does.
Well, when you have a half hour before a call, you know, what else are you going to do? You're going to sit in the dressing room and work on a crossword puzzle, you know?
Well, I don't do that before, but I'll do that this afternoon. I'll look at the times, and hopefully I can get some of it. It's very hard on Saturday.
Oh, that's right. They start on Mondays with the relatively easier ones, and they get progressively more difficult as the week goes on.
Yes, it does.
I remember that. Huh. Just all these New York memories. I'm an ex-New York boy, and I've only been in Colorado 2 years. So,
how long have you been in Colorado, may I ask you that?
Yeah, two years. Just.
Oh, my heavens.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I'm a New Yorker dying in the wool, still crawling out of it, as it were.
Anybody who's born in New York stays a New Yorker. I don't care where they go.
It's kind of true.
I think that's absolutely true.
Do you have any great stories, Rita Gardner, from the road and from touring? Again, any crazy things that happened or memorable things?
It's probably something that I'll think of after I hang up on you. I can't think about that now. I don't know. But then sometimes, you know, when I'm walking on the, oh my God, why didn't I tell him that story?
Okay.
So, you know, I don't remember any at the moment.
All right, well, hey, maybe you'll call in. You'll say, hey, Dave, you know.
Hey, Dave, listen, I forgot to tell you something.
Just another moment or two with Rita Gardner. I wanted to read you a couple of the emails that we got when we told people that you were going to be on the show. And Mary from Chicago says that the phrase, before I'm old, I'd like to be not evil, but a little worldly wise, was our mantra when she was a theater undergraduate. Oh, so many theater, many years ago. And she became a theater critic, as a matter of fact, out in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And then, let me see how I can word this one. I've met Rita Gardner. I have her autograph in front of me. This is from a person who designed the William Inge Festival tribute to Tom Jones and Harvey Schmidt.
Yes, I was there a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
I enjoyed that. Yes, they honored the Inge Festival in, what's it, Lawrence, Kansas?
Yes, exactly.
And they honored Tom and Harvey. It was brilliantly done. It was really very well done.
Yeah, he says
and
that
they got Harvey, a lot of us out there.
Harvey couldn't make it because he was ill at that time.
Yes.
But you were there, Tom was there.
Yes.
And you signed his one-of-a-kind hardback edition of The Fantastics, and the only library book he has ever stolen. And he wouldn't give it back for the world.
Oh, that's very sweet. That's
well, not the stealing part, but yes, the rest of it, absolutely.
Don't tell the library, but
I know.
Very sweet. That's very sweet.
So let me ask, I want to remind everybody also that Rita Gardner is going to be at the Metropolitan Room on 34 West 22nd Street. She's doing a show tonight. At 9:30. Yeah, you are staying up late.
No, it's at 7 o'clock.
Oh, 7 o'clock. I'm sorry, 9:30
was
last night.
Last night was 9:30.
Right.
10 o'clock, actually. But today at 7 and tomorrow at 7.
Today at 7, tomorrow at 7 at night in New York at the Metropolitan Room. You can also get her new CD, Try to Remember, a look back at Off-Broadway. Do you have a website where people can...
Yes, it's www.ritagardner.com. I do have a website.
Can I ask...
And a lot of it is all on there.
Last question for Rita Gardner. Have cabaret audiences changed or morphed in the past decade or so? Just because, I mean, there was that old style, the cabaret we remember from the 50s and 60s, and then music changed and taste changed. And is it the way it was? Is it different? What's cabaret like now?
Nothing is the way it was. I mean, I don't think so. I mean, there were so many more blots and places to sing and perform. I'm a theater bunny, so I don't know if I can answer that, you know, really, but I'm sure it has changed because there were so many places for people to get up and sing, and they had acts, and they went from one place to another, and I saw a lot of people, so of course it's changed. It's so expensive now.
Oh, well.
For people to come to nightclubs. I mean, it's expensive.
It's like $30 plus a two-drink minimum, and the drinks are,
and it's expensive to go to the theater. I mean, it's all changed. Everything has changed. So I think cabaret is, of course, it's different.
Oh, and before I speak too soon, let me advise people that the cover charge for Rita Gardner is only $20. So it's a bargain, ladies and gentlemen, $20. and a 2-drink minimum for Rita at the Metropolitan
Thank you.
Room.
Yes, it is. It's not outlandish. Really, it isn't. And, you know, I'll say I really enjoy talking to you, and I hope you get to New York sometime.
Oh, yeah, I'll actually be there in October, so if you can get back to the Metropolitan Room, I would love to see you. Or, hey, come to Greeley. You know, there's life here.
I would love to come to Greeley. I'm going to speak to, also Sherry Eaker, who helped arrange all of this, has also helped me this show, and I couldn't have done it without her. She has been absolutely wonderful, so I'm going to mention that because I'd love to go to Greeley.
Well, tell Sherry hello. She's an old friend. And also Pam Souza. I didn't realize that she
helped me with the musical staging, and Barry Kleinbord and Alex Rybeck. I had a great team. Alex was is my musical director. Barry Kleinbord, my director. I mean, it's been a fabulous group of people.
Well, if you speak,
Ken Friedman, who helped me write some of these things, I was thrilled to have them all working with me.
Just tell me if you see Pam Souza, just tell her Dave Lefkowitz says hi.
I was
in the box office of Olympus on My Mind before it moved to like have a bigger off-Broadway. She won't remember me at all, but just on the off shot, tell her hi.
I bet she does, and I will mention that.
Well, thank you, Rita Gardner. It has been an absolute joy.
It has been a pleasure for me, Dave. Really wonderful, and I'd love to meet you in person.
It's a deal. On one coast or the
take
other,
care.
Have a great weekend, and best of luck with the show.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.